Maybe we can read some verses here as well. In John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. Ceiling mics are off? Yeah, okay. John 13, 34 and 35.
A new
commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Also in John chapter 17, verses 20 and 21. Up to, 20 and 21. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. Amen. Verse 23. Yeah. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one, just as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that you sent me, and have loved them as you have loved me.
Amen.
Amen. In this meeting, the topic here in the outline is the church, the manifestation of God's love and life to fight the spiritual battle. You know, the important thing that we need to realize, and we mentioned it a few times in this conference, is that we are in the midst of a spiritual battle.
Amen.
There is a battle going on in the spiritual realm for us, for the world, for this earth, and by Satan to frustrate God's plan. And who is standing against it right now? You have to realize that it is the church. It is God's people. You know, why is it that God doesn't, take us away from this earth? Why does he leave us here on this earth? Why are we here? You know, are we here just to do our job and raise a family and enjoy life and then come to church on Sundays? Is that what we're here for? Yeah, we're here to fight a battle. We're here to stand for God's kingdom and to represent him. You know, Jesus even prayed in John 17. He said in verse 15, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world. That would be so much better, wouldn't it? Everybody wants to go to heaven. Wouldn't it be nice, right? If no more suffering, no more hardship, You don't have to pay taxes anymore, you know. You don't have to worry about what to eat, what to wear. You just go to heaven, right? But the Lord did not pray that we should be taken from this earth. But he says to keep, that you should keep them from the evil one. That tells us that the evil one is very busy. He's going to attack and he's fighting. And that also implies that we're here to fight and stand against him. You know. What do you think the church is for? Is the church here just so that we have a place to meet some nice people and have some friends? For young people, you know, I knew before there was a church group I used to go to a long time ago. They actually, and a lot of the members there at that time, they were young. And some of them we knew they were not really believers. But they came because they're hoping to find a spouse. They heard, I even heard this. One young man, he said, "I heard there are very nice girls here." Yeah, he said, "That's why I'm here." You know, so what is the church here for? Is it some kind of a club? So we can fulfill some religious duties? Are we here just to simply to praise the Lord? Is that what it's about? But we have to realize that we are here. We are the church, the people of God. This holy nation is the only thing on this earth that is put here to stand against the enemy, to resist him, you know, to shine the light. In Matthew, it says that we are a city set on a hill. There is nothing else. Can you think of anything else in this world that can do this job? Hollywood won't do it for sure, right? They're part of the evil. Nothing else. It's the only thing that is here to represent the kingdom, the nation of God, and his power and his glory and his authority, his righteousness, his holiness, his love, all the things that you cannot find in this world. The truth, the light, the life. You cannot find it anywhere. People look for happiness. You cannot find happiness. You can't find joy. Everything that people are seeking for and they want. Everybody wants justice, right? You can't find justice in this world. All these things that people want, the truth, all these things, it can only be found in the church. But in the world, all you have is lies, deception, hypocrisy, evil, sin. You know, people go looking around there for, you know, they think they know what they want. They think they found it. But we are the only thing, only place that you can, where you can find it. And this is why we have to realize that Satan's attack is not only against us individually, but it's against the church. And this is why at the beginning of the book of Revelation, the Lord Jesus, he addresses the seven churches. He's walking among the golden lampstands. He's inspecting the churches because they have such a big job to do. You know, they are the representatives of the kingdom of God. So if there's any defilement in it, how can they do their job? So he has to inspect. He's always inspecting. This is lacking. This is good, but this is lacking. You have the works, but you've left the first love. All right, you're blind, naked, poor, wretched. Repent. Repent and be zealous. So many things, right? So we have to get away from this idea that church is Sunday services. Church is meetings. where I just come to praise the Lord with other brothers and sisters, and then I go home and I continue with my job, my hobbies, my family. But whenever we are not gathered together, we still have to stand for the kingdom of God everywhere we go, because Satan doesn't sleep. He doesn't sleep, you know, especially in these last days. And, you know, I wanted to read these verses. Actually, it's not even in the outline, I don't think. It just came to me. Because love is something that, for some reason, the Lord could have chosen so many things to say how the world can know that we are followers of Christ. He could have mentioned lots of things. In John chapter 13, what we just read, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." If I were him, I'm sure I could think of a lot of things. You know, if you can do these miracles, if you have very good teachings, maybe if you dress a certain way, you all wear beautiful robes with a Jesus on your shirt, that's how people will know you're my disciples. How do people really know? Right? If you act a certain way, if you all act this way. No, but the thing that he chose to show the world is love. Not just any love, but the love with which he loved us. A perfect, holy love. Sacrificial. No conditions. Right? Righteous. Because why? Because again, this type of love you cannot find in the world. You know, we all think we know what love is. You know, Hollywood tells us what they think love is, you know. One whole genre of movies is romantic comedies, right? Romance. Everybody likes, especially women, they love to watch romance. You know, oh, this is so loving, so much love. Oh, look at this love, makes me cry. Right? So touching. But, you know, that is the world's love. But the Lord's love, he gave himself for us. You know, he gave up everything for us. But firstly, he loved the Father. You know, this is such an amazing love because it comes forth from life. And this is, you know, and this is how he wants the world to know that we are his disciples. And again, in John chapter 17, he talks about, again, how the world will know. How do we tell the world? The way that we tell the world, it is that we are made perfect in one. He said it two times. In verse 21, he says that they may be one. That's us. As you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. We think we know how to make the world believe. Christians have so many methods on how to make the world believe. Right? They have, you know, they have different shows and performances, and, you know, they want to impress, they want to convince, and do so many ways. Maybe if I try this method, this tactic, then people will believe in Jesus. If I really impress them in some way, they will believe in Jesus. Maybe we should go back to the Bible instead of coming up with all these different ideas. Here, the way to show them is that the people would be made perfect in one, as the Father and I are one. And to be one isn't just buddies, like, hey, we're buddies and we agree. You know, I agree with you, you agree with me, that's one. We get along, you know, but it's to be, even the nature is the same. The thinking is the same. The whole mind is transformed. The heart is transformed. You can't even distinguish that these are separate people. You see one, you see the same thing in the other person. Just like Jesus said, if you see me, you see the Father. Why is that? Is it just because they agree? It's much more than unity or uniformity. But if you see one, you see the other one. You can't tell there's any difference. And the way to do this is through love. Colossians chapter 3 says, love is the bond of perfection. The love between the Son and the Father is such a different type of love. It causes them to be one, perfect in one. It's perfect. There's no crack in it. And this is how he wants us to be. Why? Because, again, this is something that comes out of life, and it's something that you cannot find in this world. As much as the world tries to make oneness, it's impossible, because it can only come from love, which only comes from life. And the life is only found in Christ. We always laugh that, you know, we use this example. In the world, they have the United Nations. But in the United Nations, they try to get the nations together. But what do they have? It's just division and corruption and evil. There's no unity. Even within a household. I heard this a lot in my boss told us before. The lockdowns, working at home was the worst thing ever for them. Because before the pandemic, the father would go work in his office, the mother would work in her office, the children would be at school. But then when the pandemic hit, everybody had to stay home all the time and see each other every day. And it was just terrible. They got to the point where they couldn't stand each other. So even in a household, people cannot be one. You know. So how can you expect all the people of God to be one? But this is what the Lord wants. Because you cannot find it in this world. And this is the testimony. So we have to realize that, you know, one of the main targets against God's kingdom is to bring in division into the church, to divide people, to attack the love among the saints and our love to the Father. You know, and this is why love is not just good feelings towards other people. You have to realize this is what binds us together, to create the oneness, to be a testimony to the world, to stand against the enemy. It is directly connected to this battle that we're in. Sometimes we don't realize how important this matter of love is. It's extremely important, because without it, you know, we are in big trouble. Imagine if there was no love, Christ wouldn't even have died for us. God wouldn't have sent his only son. It was out of love that he did it. Everything that was done was out of love that the Father did. The famous verse, right? For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son. What other motivating factor was there? For humans, a lot of things motivate us, right? We're motivated by money, sometimes by spite. Sometimes by, you know, we want to look good, so we do things. There's some kind of incentive for us, we'll do it. Yeah. But for God, what motivated him was always love. That's why John's conclusion, John wrote in 1 John chapter 4, that God is love.
Amen.
Because whatever he did, it was motivated out of love. That was the driving factor in everything. And even Jesus, when he was on the earth, because they're one, it's the same thing that motivates him and drives him. Everything he did was out of love. You know, it wasn't money. He didn't even have money to pay his taxes. He had to make it appear out of the fish, right? There was nothing in it for him. There was nothing of self. It was completely out of love. So if we want to be one with them, one with our head, one with the Lord, that has to be ours as well. In John, it says he loved them, the disciples, to the end. You know, even to wash their feet. Yeah. So, you know, this is, so how can we not have love? But instead we, you know, even when we talk about, you know, the matter of the first fruits and the coming of the judgment of God, the great day of God's wrath, the motivating factor shouldn't be, I want to escape. I don't want to go through the suffering. Right? What motivates us still ought to be our love for the Lord, our bridegroom. You know, so really this point of love is so important because it has to be what drives us, our love for our Father, our love for the Lord, that whatever we do, and that's why John says that the commandments are not burdensome. Isn't that right? In 1 John. First John chapter 4, I believe. Yeah. 1 John chapter 5, verse 3. And this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. Amen. Yeah, we love to keep his commandments because we love our Father. And whatever he tells us to do, we gladly, it's not only, okay, it's a grass cutting day, it appears. Well, the door's about to close. Okay. Yeah, so yeah, so, you know, so the commandments of the Lord, because we love our God, it's not because, you know, we're afraid he's going to punish us. Of course, we need to have that fear and respect of God, because he is a consuming fire. But if we really love him with our whole heart, our soul, our mind, our strength, then it's something that we not only not burdensome, we gladly want to do it. You know, you want to please the Lord. You know, you want to make sure that whatever we do is right in his eyes. And again, this comes from the growth in life. Nobody can make you love something, right? If I tell you, you need to love a certain person, a very unlovable person, and you have to love, the word says you have to love. Even if I force you to do it, you can't do it, right? I put a gun to your head, you cannot love that person. The only way is through life, growth. The same thing with our Lord. No matter how many messages and conferences we have about loving the Lord, if we don't grow in life, we don't eat him. We talked about eating. We don't eat. You don't spend time in the Word. You know, sometimes we meet Christians, they don't even open their Bible. They don't read. They don't spend any time with him. Well, how are you supposed to love somebody that you hardly know? All right, so this relationship has to grow. The life has to grow. It has to be nurtured. It has to be fed. And if you surround yourself with people who are also pursuing the same thing and also pursuing to love the Lord more, it makes it a lot easier. But if you're always with people who love the world, it's going to be very hard to love the Lord. Again, why the church is important, because the church provides an environment a nurturing environment for us to pursue this love and to pursue this life. And on top of that, it also trains us in our love for one another. We may think we're quite loving, but like we said, once we start to interact and mingle with brothers and sisters, that love is tested. Again, showing where we need to grow in life. All right, so we talk about here that our love towards God in the outline, love towards one another. Yeah, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8 says that we even have to have fervent love for one another. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8, it says, and this is, I like how he wrote this. Okay, verse 7, 1 Peter 4, verse 7, it says, but the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers, and above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Yeah, and he continues, be hospitable to one another without grumbling, and he gives other instructions. But even more for us, the end of all things, you know, when Peter wrote this, he already thought the end of all things is at hand. And today, it really, even more for us, we're even closer to the end. Right. So more serious. I would say even be more serious and watchful in your prayers. And the Lord said also in Luke 21, to watch and pray. What are you watching? What are we watching for? Of course, we have to watch for the signs of the times, but we also have to watch to make sure that the enemy doesn't come in to destroy the work of the Lord. We have to watch out for the roaring lion, because he likes to come in as a sheep, as a wolf dressed in sheep's clothing. Jesus warned about this in the book of John. John 10 or 11, something like that. Yeah. That he is coming to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's what he does. So always be serious and watchful in your prayers. Even when we pray, are we praying against the enemy? We like to, which is important, we pray for the needs of the saints. But how often do we pray for the growth of the saints? That they would be freed from the enemy. Pray for the church that against all the attacks from the enemy. And it says, above, even more than all these things, have fervent love for one another. I still find it amazing that Peter also, one of the top things, above all these things, he could say, I don't know, study more, right? Gain more knowledge, do more good works, whatever, right? There's so many things he could say, but just like the Lord, above all these things, have fervent love. What does fervent mean? It means burning. It's not just a little bit, but it's a real burning love. Not just, oh, I tolerate you. You're okay. Brothers and sisters are okay. I get along with them. But it's such a burning love. It's a real burning, fervent love for one another. Why? Because love will cover a multitude of sins. What does that mean? It means that when you have such a love, you cannot be, it prevents a lot of sins from happening. It prevents a lot of offenses. It prevents divisions. It prevents misunderstanding. A lot of problems in the church can be prevented if we have fervent love. Why is this important? Because without that, these sins will come in. and cause damage to the church. Remember, the church is holy. It is of God. There cannot be sin. There's no defilement in the church. It has to be kept pure. It's not of this world. It's not made with human hands. But the moment this love starts to cool down or not even or be absent, the sin comes in. And Satan uses this as a means to divide, to steal, kill, and destroy. It's not just about us getting along with each other. I want to emphasize, it's not just that. It is really to preserve the testimony of the Lord, to stand against the enemy. And that's why we keep coming back to this spiritual battle. It's not just so we can have a group of happy people who all get along and, you know, like friends. It's really, there is something deeper and bigger. We have to see the big picture. It is a battle for this earth. We're standing against the enemy. And if we don't see that, this is not a small thing. To prevent, to cover this multitude of sin. Don't give an opportunity to Satan. Yeah. And Satan tries to bring in death, sin, division to damage God's kingdom, the church. Right, we cannot be ignorant. Yeah, we read this too many times. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Our enemy is not people, especially not brothers and sisters. We have to realize that there's something behind the scenes, in the spiritual realm. There's a whole world that we don't see that's invisible. Okay? This is these principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. The heavenly places refers to the spiritual realm. This world that we cannot see, where Satan is ruling. And he's using every means to attack us, to damage the church, damage the kingdom of God. All right? And so this is our real enemy. So we need to realize this, be always aware of that Satan is ready to take any chance to cause damage. But the job of the church is to stand against this, to fight it and to resist it. And one of the best ways is to pursue this love, to have this love for our Father and also for one another. Amen.